Good morning. I want to say before we get started one last time, if you haven't signed up for either of the other Bible studies that we're doing, either the men's study or the evangelism group, today's going to be the last day that that's on the board back there. So if you keep forgetting about it and just haven't put your name on there, don't forget today or call me later and let me know. But so that will be the last day for that to be on there. So if you want to be involved with either of those two groups, either the men's Bible study and prayer group or the evangelism group, go ahead and get signed up for those. There's really no other way to say this than just throw it out there. I really like superheroes. Something I enjoy. Emily's already given me a weird look because I talk about it a lot, and she hates it when I talk about it. Me and Reagan talk about it all the time. It's fun. I enjoy it. I watch the movies. I like reading comic books. Yeah, I'm nerdy. Get over it. Y'all knew that already. But I saw a news or something on the news not too long ago, actually while I was in Africa, because for some reason they were showing Chinese news in Africa. Apparently recently, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 premiered over in Beijing recently, and so they were having an interview with the director of the movie and the two main actors. And the Chinese news anchor, he said, he'd been talking for a little while, and he stopped. He said, okay, so how come in America, in one country, you have so many superheroes? He said, I heard a number, I don't know if it's true or not, but over 2,000 superheroes in America, published superheroes in this country, we have over 2,000 of them. Now, that's a lot even for me. Why? Well, what's the point in that? And so the director of this movie and the two actors, they kind of start taking turns answering this question. Mark Webb, the director of the movie, he said, well, it really started in the 30s when Superman kicked it off, right? And you can trace everything back to Superman. And Emma Stone, the actress, she said, well, that makes sense because that was in the Great Depression, and it offers this escape from life, and it offers into this magical and mythical world where you can rescue people, you can save people from reality. And then it went back to Mark, and he was talking about how it even transcends that thought, and that it was part of the reason that they were there in China that day is because this idea of superheroes touches on something universal that really everybody enjoys. And he says there's this absence of, and this was obviously his opinion on this, but he says there's this absence of really big mythologies that united us all. And when those happen, you know, whether it's Star Wars or Spider-Man, it's really quite profound. And they start talking about globalization and uniting all people under this, you know, really basically a fandom. And so they're talking about this, and then the actor, the guy who played Spider-Man, speaks up, and he says there's a reason that we're projecting all of our hopes and our dreams onto fictional characters. You know, I want to put this delicately, but maybe we don't feel protected in reality. So we do need to put all our hopes and our energy into something we can trust, and we feel that this will protect us. And it's very easy to do with this red and blue suit, talking about Spider-Man. He said, in these friendly eyes, and this ideal of what it's like to be a protector, what it's like to be maybe a good father. Now, I don't know. It's dicey, but I don't know why we love superheroes so much. And it went back to the director who said, if you look in the history of superheroes and you think about it, they do, you know, Superman would fight the Nazis, and he became a defender against what was scaring us in the nuclear era. He would fight against these big giant cockroaches that were turned by virtue of nuclear waste. So these fears were addressed by them, and now terrorism in comic books today, that's something they protect us from. It helps us feel safe. It gives us something to look up to. So I was watching this interview. It was just a really interesting piece and their take on why we're obsessed with superheroes in our country. And I'll admit, I'm one of those people. I love it. But I started thinking, it gives us someone to look up to. It gives us basically they're saying that these characters represent the best of us. These are the people that hold up the virtues that we think are important in our culture. And so I started thinking, as Christians, who are our heroes? Who do we look up to feel safe? Who do we strive to be like? And I started thinking about Hebrews chapter 11. Go ahead and turn there. That's where we're going to be today. I started thinking about these people listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. And instead of looking at fictional characters, you know, we're looking at real people. People who were empowered by faith. People who were, for all intents and purposes, given superhuman abilities because of their faith in God. And they were able, through that, to serve God and to serve each other. Actually, look back a few verses into chapter 10 of Hebrews. We're going to start there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, he says, "But recall the former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those who were so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your own property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and preserve their souls." You remember the context of the book of Hebrews. The writer is talking to people who are leaving the faith. He's talking to people who are kind of going back to Judaism because it's safer. And he says, that's not who you are. You are not people who lose faith. You are not people who shrink back and are destroyed. You are people who stand strong. You are people who preserve their souls because of your faith in God. And he goes on to define faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, he said, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. And by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Faith is, for all intents and purposes, the source of a superhuman power that we have access to. Our faith in God gives us strength. And he goes on to list some people that through their faith were empowered to great things. He starts off with Abel. And he says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, even though he died, he still speaks." Abel is a worshiper. It's very interesting that one of the first stories in the Bible, we see people offering worship to God, Cain and Abel. We see it done right and we see it done wrong. Cain offers the best of his flock. He offers this sacrifice that God desired. And while we don't know exactly what God required at that time, because it's not given to us in writing, there was obviously a difference between Abel's lamb and Cain's fruit of the ground. Cain's was not accepted, and of course Cain did not take that well. And he went out and he killed Abel in his anger and his rage. But the point is, Abel had faith. And it was because of Abel's faith that he offered to God the gifts that God wanted. And God accepted those. And I don't know if we think about it in this way or not, but worship, what we do to honor our Lord, that's powerful. It is our relationship with Him. It's how we honor Him, and it's how other people perceive our relationship with Him. There's power in worship. And that is what Abel goes down in history for, because of the worship that he provided, or the worship that he performed, and the faith in which he gave it in. And it says that even in this tragic death, even though he died, he still speaks. We learn from him. If you read comic books at all, some of the most meaningful stories of these characters are when the hero dies. You know, and what they give their life for, something like that. And if you read, especially if you're reading something, some comics that kind of the characters, their stories intertwine, it affects the rest of the world. That's what he's saying about Abel here. His death speaks to the rest of us. It teaches us about this worship. It teaches us about this faith. And so he is a hero to us because of the worship that he provided. It goes on to talk about Enoch. In verse 5, he said, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God has taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. And whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that would reward those who seek him." Enoch was one who became an immortal before he even died. He was given life. He was given a resurrection without death. And that's hard to comprehend for us, because death is such a normal part of our life experience. We can't imagine someone not dying. But this power, this ability to overcome death in this way, this gift that God gave him, was because of his faith. Because he was pleasing to God. And he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Really, Enoch's superpower was that he was an individual with integrity that God had favor on. Because of his faith, because of his belief in a God that he didn't necessarily see. But he knew, and he worshiped, and he believed, and he honored in every aspect of his life, to the degree that God apparently decided he didn't deserve death. And we can look to Enoch, and we can understand that it is possible to please God in amazing ways, and it's possible to live lives of integrity, so that we know who God is and that we diligently seek Him. He talks about Noah. He says, "By faith Noah," in verse 7, "being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Noah is a fascinating character, especially when you take into account the way the world seems to have worked before the flood. What was a flood? That was kind of a concept nobody understood, it seems. The fact that it seems that this heavy rainfall wasn't even a common thing, if a thing at all. God says, "I'm going to make water come from the sky, I'm going to make water come from the ground, and everything's going to be covered up. The world, you know, is going to be completely changed, and here's your chance to be saved from this, Noah." It was so fantastic, it was so unreal, and yet Noah, in his faith, had this reverent fear of God, understood that God was judge, understood that God was just, and he obeyed him. And he did what he said, and it says that he became a savior to his family, because in his faith he executed God's plan for salvation, and they the eight of them were to be saved on the ark. But also, he became judgment to the rest of the world because his righteousness was something that nobody else was doing. His fear of God was something that nobody else had. And it said that in Noah, the rest of the world stood condemned because God said, "This is how I want my people to be. The rest of you are focused on evil continually." Noah was a hero of faith, someone that we look to and we can strive to be like because we can have favor with God and we can have that understanding, that respect, that fear, that reverence towards God like Noah. He talks about Abraham. He talks a lot about Abraham. He says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out." I'm in verse 8. "When he was called to go out of a place that he was out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise." Excuse me. "By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." And you jump down a few verses into verse 17. He says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Abraham did a lot. But Abraham was ultimately an obedient follower. Abraham did what God said. From the world's perspective, Abraham had zero reason to believe in God's plan. He was 75 years old. His wife was 65 years old. How were they going to have a nation come from their offspring when they were barren? Why would you leave your home at 75 years old to take over a country? Abraham said, okay. He had faith in God. And he went out and he lived in tents, sojourning in a land. He didn't have a home. He was carrying his family through the wilderness. And it says that these all died without seeing the promise fulfilled. We skipped that verse. I think it's verse 15 or 16. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not a... No, wrong verse. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. In their physical life, they didn't see the fulfillment of these promises. Or Abraham didn't see the fulfillment of these promises, but he continually had faith in God. And he had Isaac. And God gave him Isaac and gave Isaac sons and gave Isaac sons sons. 400 years later, they come out. This promise has been fulfilled. Abraham had faith that that would happen. And he was obedient in all of these things through his faith. And he was always looking to God for this city not made with hands. Abraham was a hero because he was obedient. Abraham was a hero because he could look through the world's perspective and look through what the world would see as nonsense and say, God's got a plan. Just obey. Be faithful. We skipped over the part where he talks about Sarah, his wife. He says in verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had the promise. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born the descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Sarah was given the power of life. She was able to bear children because she had faith in God and in His promise. Yeah, she made her mistakes. There were times where she didn't have faith in that plan. She provided Hagar, and Ishmael came of that. There were times where she faltered. Remember, she laughed at God when he first told her, in a year you'll have a son. But ultimately, Sarah knew God was faithful. Sarah had faith in the God of her husband and understood his faith. And together they served Jehovah. And she was given the gift of life from that. She was given the ability to conceive. He talks about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph in verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons. Each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave them direction concerning his bones. Really, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, Joseph being the exception, he obviously had traumatic experiences happen to him. But Isaac and Jacob didn't really play huge roles. They had kids, but they just kept the faith of their fathers. And they continued to remind their children of the promises of God. As far as heroes go, the world might not look at that as something spectacular, but to train your children in the promises of God, so that they have faith and they have hope, that's powerful. And that's what these men did, and they just continued believing in those promises. Even at his deathbed, Joseph said, you know what? Y'all are leaving here. Take me with you when you go. Joseph could have had a pyramid built after him. He said, don't worry about it. Take my bones back to Canaan when you leave. He had faith that they were going home. And he passed that on to the next generation. They were the oracles of their time. He talks about Moses, the humble leader. Where he says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that their child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. And he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept a Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Moses was royalty. He could have been. He had every earthly reason to say, nah, I'm good here. Life's nice in the palace. Not going to rock the boat. But he had faith, and he saw the afflictions of his own people, and he said, it's not going to work. He saw the riches of the people who raised him, and he said, it's not worth it. He said, the discipline of God is better than these riches. And he had faith, and he carried that out, and he led the people out of Egypt. He wasn't scared of Pharaoh. Probably should have been from earthly perspective. Israel was just a bunch of slaves. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have armies. The Egyptians had conquered the world. He wasn't scared. And he led them out. And he kept the Passover. And he saved his people. Moses is a hero. He's a hero of leadership. He's a hero of humility because of his faith. Because he saw as if seeing the invisible God. He had such a focused perspective. And he moved towards that, and he led others towards it. The Israelites, this group of slaves, were not trained in anything. They were delivered. And ultimately, they became really crusaders. He says that by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, they were drowned, and by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Israel had their moments where they were lacking their faith. They had 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to pay for that. But at the beginning and the ends of their journey, bookended by faith. They crossed the Red Sea because they had faith God was going to get them out of Egypt. They crossed the Jordan because they knew God was going to get them into Canaan. And they became a great nation because of the faith that they had. A group of people, a group of God's people, not unlike the church, prospered because of faith. That's something we can look to not just as individuals, but as a group. They are heroes to us. And he ends kind of with an odd one when he says, by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. The one he ends on, she's not even an Israelite. She's not even really a good person. Rahab the prostitute was not killed with the disobedient because she gave a friendly welcome to the spies. Remember Rahab's story. Here come the spies, and she has heard about Jehovah, and she has heard about Israel. And she said, y'all come on in. I'm not messing with that. We're friends here. I don't want to be destroyed. I understand that your God has the power to do that. And she recognized God, and she had faith in God, and so she helped God's people. And ultimately, she became one of God's people. Even to the point that she's in the bloodline of Jesus because of her faith. And because she was good to people, that she was a kind woman. All of these great heroes, and he ends on this one really just to say, be nice to people because we're God's people. He says, I don't have the time to talk about Gideon. I don't have the time to talk about Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets and all of these people who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. It's interesting, these people that he's mentioning now from an earthly perspective sound a little more heroic than the previous ones, right? These are the conquerors and the kings, and they're doing really great things. But the ones that he's mentioned specifically are things that we can do. Probably not any of us is going to end up being a king of anything in here. you do, remember me. That'd be nice. But each of us is going to worship God. Each of us are going to have times where we're going to have to choose to obey God even when we don't understand the plan. Each of us is going to have the opportunity to be a nice person because of who our God is. And we look to these people and we know that we can do that. We look up to these people as our heroes because they represent the best of us. And we can be like them if we have faith. Look at the first two verses of chapter 12 of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is our ultimate hero. Jesus is it. You don't get more heroic than that. You don't get more super than that. Because he is God, but he lived the life of a man for the joy set before him, endured the most agonizing death you could possibly imagine. Our faith is the source of our power, but who is our faith in? It's in Jesus. He is the author of that faith. He is the perfecter of that faith. And we run this race with endurance because ultimately we are striving to be like him. Yeah, we can look at Noah and we can look at Abraham and we can look at these other people and be inspired by them, but they made mistakes. They're human. It's part of why they're such great heroes to us, because we can relate to their faults. Now, when you're picking a character in fictional literature, you choose heroes that you relate to. You choose heroes that have a code of honor that you can get behind. You choose heroes that have a backstory that kind of models something in your life. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there's one thing that we're striving to be, and that's holy, and it's virtuous. It's Jesus. And that's who all these other heroes were trying to be. And that's what makes them heroes, because they had faith in him. So my question to you this morning is, do you have a powerful faith in God? What does that faith empower you to do? How can you serve God? How can you serve His kingdom, His people? How can you serve this world? Through what God's given you. And what is your faith going to cause you to do? As we grow in our lives, as we grow in as a church, there are things we have to keep in mind, because we're not going to do the will of God and the work of God if we're not faithful to God, and if we're not moved by that faith to do that work. So going back to chapter 10, are you someone who shrinks back and is destroyed? Who loses faith? Or are you one who holds your faith and preserves your soul? Think about that. Embrace that faith. Be powered by that faith. Discover your superpower. Be a child of God. If you need to become a child of God this morning, if you have faith in Him, if you will submit to Him participate in his death through baptism, then do that this morning. If we can help you in any way, let us know as we stand and sing together.